This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm Alex Chadwick.
The man in charge was very, I say racist now because I know what that means, you know. But he didn't treat us nice at all.
Chris Luna was a migrant worker in this country in the 1940s when World War II made domestic labor scarce. In 1942, the United States started to bring thousands of Mexican nationals like Chris Luna across the border legally. They worked on farms and railroads in the Bracero program that lasted for 20 years.
The Smithsonian Institution is working to preserve this Bracero history when they say dramatically change the face of farm labor in the United States. NPR's Shireen Meraji prepared this report.
The workers were proud to come over and help the United States during this wartime experience, or they were proud that they were able to work here in the United States and send money back.
Steve Velasquez is a curator at the Home and Community Life Division at the Smithsonian.
But almost all of them really did not like the way they were treated during the whole process. Housing issues, food, reneging on some of their contract salaries were all problems that they mentioned.
81-year-old Chris Luna recalls his days as a bracero, working for the Southern Pacific Railroad.
I remember hearing the word, "you dogs," you know, and I didn't know what he was saying until somebody told me. I went to the offices and I told them that I wanted to go back to Mexico, that I didn't want to work under those conditions. The person there told me, he said, "well, you know, it costs us a lot of money to bring you here, so we'd rather have you stay." And so I told him, I said, "find me a place that is not as hot as Yuma, Arizona, and where the person in charge is going to be a decent person."
Luna was moved north to Tempe to work on the railroad for 10 hours a day at 57 cents an hour. It was cooler than Yuma, and he rented a room from a nice family and completed his work contract. In 1998, the Smithsonian acquired 1,700 photographs that captured the experience of braceros like Chris Luna.
The photographer Leonard Nadell documented the whole process from going to a town in Mexico all the way up through the contract process, crossing the border, and then into the United States.
But Velasquez says these photos of young men weathered by constant work in the sun, stooped in the fields picking vegetables, didn't tell the whole story. So the Smithsonian held town hall meetings here in the U.S. to find former braceros, their children, farmers, anyone involved in the program who wanted to share their memories.
The town hall meeting was just part of this whole project. So we would go to the town and we would show them some of the photographs and then ask them to come the next day and present their history.
My uncle had taken us and said he needed us to go help with the tomatoes.
Josie Carrillo Johnson was just a kid when she started topping onions and picking tomatoes. Her father came to the U.S. as a bracero from Chihuahua, Mexico, met her mom, had kids, and they all worked the fields.
We were picking tomatoes. I had a brother who just hated it. I remember him just saying, I hate this. And he started throwing, him and my other brother, they started throwing tomatoes at each other. And all I could think of was, we are in trouble. But then somebody hit me with a tomato, and that's it. I got into it. Just the typical child play.
Carrillo Johnson never knew if her father finished his work contract. He abandoned the family in Colorado and left for California. Contracts were at the heart of the bracero program. They were written in English and signed by braceros who oftentimes didn't speak it. The program spanned two decades, and thousands of contracts were signed by Mexican nationals. Many were unclear of their rights, pay, and contract length. And the poor working conditions drove many braceros back to Mexico before they even finished their contracts.
¿Y por qué dice que como esclavo, señor Alberto?
A woman conducting an interview with 65-year-old Alberto de Loera Escobar asks him why he mentioned being treated like a slave.
Pues es que ahí tenías que trabajar duro, lo tenían a uno.
Well, it's because you had to work very hard. They didn't give you a chance to rest, and they had you working in the fields picking vegetables and lettuce heads, hunched over all day, 10 hours a day working bent over. The food they gave you wasn't too good either. Imagine a camp of 7,000 to 10,000 people giving them food to eat on long tables like this. At 2 or 3 in the morning, you would have to get in line to go eat, because if you woke up late, you would have to go off to work without eating.
Sin comer, sin nada.
80-year-old John Tomlin employed braceros like Escobar on his farm in New Mexico. One of his main worries was being left without anyone to pick the crops.
Some of them would get homesick or didn't like it, and they wanted to go home right away once you started to get them to work. Mm-hmm. You could always tell when they're about ready to leave you, and that is they would start buying clothes to take home, and they always liked these blue suitcases, kind of like a little trunk. And they usually would all leave. You'd lose, say, if you had 15 or 10, they'd all leave. They're strange that way. That's one of the things you have with them. They like to work in a group and stay in a group. Hmm. We used to kid some of them couldn't eat unless they had somebody with them, you know.
John Tomlin's experience is not well represented in the Smithsonian's Bracero History Project, but Steve Velasquez says the museum is not yet done collecting stories for their exhibit. Velasquez thinks the project is not only a piece of Mexican and Mexican-American history, but a way we can understand who we all are as Americans.
Listening to the stories of the men and of the wives and of the children, it really touches you on a basic personal level. And, you know, it tells one slice of life in one time period. The more we get of those little slices, the bigger our picture of American identity becomes.
For NPR News, I'm Shireen Meraji.
And History in Pictures, you can see some photos from the Bracero program at our website, npr.org.